start.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name's Scott Jack. Talk free. Now, I kind of like that last segment, don't you all? This is Scott Jack, and I'm with Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host this evening. And today we're speaking with Marty and Donnie Kelly. Marty and Donnie are mother and father of a, I believe he's 8 years old now.
Yes, that's right.
Ken, who traveled to Costa Rica for an adult stem cell treatment not too long ago. And today I have a co-host, and she's going to introduce herself.
I'm Bonnie Kimpling Kelly, your co-host.
Thank you very much, Bonnie. It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
Bonnie's going to be helping out in the chat room, I hope. Bonnie, you have your chat room open?
I believe so.
Okay, and I do too. And, okay. I think we're ready to get started. Okay, Marty or Donnie or both.
Okay.
Can you give your listeners a brief history on Ken's treatments prior to receiving the stem cells?
Okay. Well, first off, Ken was diagnosed with autism around 2 years old, like most autistic children. He couldn't talk. He had just started walking, basically, a little bit before his second birthday. He had a lot of delays. So the autism diagnosis did come as a shock, and I think we kind of were in denial about that, probably until he was about 4 years old. Still, he couldn't talk, and we thought, gee, what can we do? Something has to be able to fix our son. I mean, this is 2000, you know?
Right.
Got to be something out there.
That's right.
So we started looking into things and talking to other parents, and the first thing I heard about was my cousin came to me and said, Marty, my friend has a son with autism, and she has him on a special diet, and he's doing fabulous. And I just didn't believe it. And, you know, she went on to tell me about that. And, of course, you would always hear about chelation and things like that and about metals contributing to autism. But I had never given my son immunizations. So I said, how would he get metals?
That's right.
But we started looking into it, and lo and behold, there was something to it. Kenneth did have metals. We found out his mercury was 950 on a special French test that we did. And on that test, 95 was considered high. So Kenneth's mercury was just overloaded.
Is there any idea of where that mercury came from?
I do think that when he was nursing at 6 months old, I had dental work done, and he was right there with me, right beside me while those amalgam fillings were drilled. And that was vaporized in the air, and he was right there breathing it and breastfeeding at the same time.
I see.
Amalgam fillings or mercury, that's the only place I can think of. You know, there's
right.
a lot of controversy about that, but, hey, it doesn't matter. It's there. Let's get it out. Let's fix our son. And that was where I was going with this.
Now, I have a little bit of experience into dental work. I was a dental assistant for a couple of years down around this area, and I do know about the amalgam fillings. And years ago, they did have... quite large amounts, actually, of mercury in them. So that could be one of the main factors in there. Now, going from that, what was your first, basically your first treatment decision?
What we started doing was we got a doctor called a Dan doctor who treats specifically autism, and Dan would be Defeat Autism Now. We started him on a diet called the Specific Carbohydrate Diet, which limits all sugars You just have them on protein and vegetables, fruits, and honey. And it was a very hard diet to do. But immediately after that, you know, his bowel movements, which are a huge issue, which I would hate to talk about on the radio, but that started changing, which shows that his body was changing, and that was helpful. We went to the Dan doctor. We started with chelation therapy, and I went right to IV chelation with EDTA, which is for lead, and then DMPS, which helps with the mercury.
Wow, okay. I know you mentioned sugar, limiting sugar, vegetables, and honey. So you substituted with vegetables and honey?
Yes, we took out the sugar, and we just use vegetables, proteins, any types of meats, and and fruits can be a sugar as well. So we use fruits to sweeten things.
Okay. That
and
makes sense.
Helpful. It was, it's called a specific carbohydrate diet.
Specific carbohydrate diet. Interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And that's a good diet for Crohn's disease.
Sounds like it'd be a good diet for diabetes as well.
I guess. It helps arthritis and all sorts of things. So.
Low carbohydrate diet. I have a young daughter who was diagnosed with type 1 juvenile onset diabetes at the age of 8.
Oh, my goodness.
She now wears a pump. So her pancreas is on her outside, and she does actually very well, probably much better than her parents do with it. In fact, it's part of her life, you know, as I'm sure this is all part of Ken's life now and yours as well. I really appreciate you guys coming on here because I've seen the WABI TV Channel 5 segments that have been done in our local area.
Yeah.
And after of course, I spoke with you, and I was like, you know, really, that's something that really should be out there, you know. People need to know about this treatment. Now, we've gone through your son's dietary recommendations for specific fruits, maybe in between, and vegetables that help Ken the most. Now, I know you mentioned honey. How is honey, you know, because most people would think that honey is high in sugar content.
There's a special book. It's called Breaking the Vicious Cycle, and it talks about honey and the way it's broken down in the body and the way the body digests it, people with Crohn's and celiac disease in particular, and maybe all sorts of autoimmune diseases, and that's the whole purpose, is the way it's broken down in the body. And
excellent. Called Breaking the Virus Cycle.
Breaking the Vicious Cycle, yep.
Oh, the Vicious Cycle, thank you. You already answered, when Ken was first diagnosed, about 2 years old. When did you start noticing changes for the better, and which type of treatment did you start noticing those changes?
Well, we really figured, because when we finally woke up about him having autism and accepted it and said, okay, this is him and this is our life, we have to start facing this.
Right.
Around 5, I would say. So we said, hey, let's hurry up and let's do the best we can for him. My cousin, who told me about the diet and her friend, had also told me about hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And I think we've heard about hyperbaric oxygen therapy in hospitals, and that would be the hard chamber. And what this girl was doing was mild chambers, the mild hyperbaric for her son for autism. And she actually had one in her house. So we immediately got on that, and we hooked up with a Dan doctor that was willing to get us into that, and within a month we had purchased the hyperbaric and started on our sessions in the oxygen chamber.
Awesome.
It wasn't too awesome, Scott, because my husband and I were in there for 3 hours a day for 30 days.
It was quite crampy.
It was, but I will tell you something. The teacher wrote a note that first week and said, wow, Ken sat down and he's traced the alphabet for the first time without our assistance, all by himself, from A to Z.
Oh, that's cool.
It blew us away.
So you really started noticing a difference in the hyperbaric oxygen chamber.
Within a week, immediately.
Awesome.
And he calmed down.
And you've continued with those sessions, as I understand.
Yeah, I think we're around 900 hours at this point.
Wow. Wow.
So.
Are those mostly his hours now, or are you included in that a lot, too?
We're working on that. We have to go in with him because, you know,
yeah.
Just to be safe.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
So. I will tell you this, Scott. When we started with the hyperbaric oxygen, he was around, I'd say, 5 or 5.5. He couldn't talk that well. I don't think our son would be where he is today without hyperbaric oxygen therapy. He's talking, he's doing a lot of things that have really progressed him. The chamber has helped him tremendously. It's right up there with the stem cells.
That's excellent. Now, he attends... When he was 5.5 years old, of course, he wasn't attending school then, but he attended kindergarten as normal.
Well, he was in special. He's always had the special autism.
Right. How did he do during the first, say, kindergarten, first grade year?
It was really hard. He couldn't even hold a crayon.
Really?
You would talk to him, and he would nod his head or just answer yes. That's all he knew how to do.
And so the teachers started noticing these, and obviously you have a very good school system to have a good communication process, as I've seen in some of the documentation passed on your website as well. Obviously you have a very good school system and teachers that are very caring. Did the teachers really start noticing all these changes too?
Oh yeah, the teachers did. I mean, they'd write us notes, and we didn't want to influence their opinions, so we kept what we're doing to ourselves because we wanted things that they saw to be like, you know, we didn't want to say, hey, we're doing this new treatment. What do you see from it?
Right.
We waited for
right.
them to come to us, and it's been slow in coming. You know, it takes us even a while to look back and say, goodness. Look how many words he knows now as opposed to back then. And people that haven't seen him for a while, my relatives really comment on how well he's doing and how much he's changed. So
that's going to be very exciting for you and Don.
Yeah, I do have some exciting news, which when we get to it, about what we're seeing from stem cells. So
great.
I'll bite my tongue if you ask me. But
All right. Thank you. Donald. Are you still with us?
I'm still on the end.
Yeah, okay. Donald is Ken's father. Donald, what changes have you seen, the difference between Ken's behaviors at home and at school prior to the treatments?
Prior to the hyperbaric treatments?
Yeah.
Stem cells.
Oh, stem cells.
The hyperbaric treatments.
Well, prior to his hyperbaric treatments, as Marty just described, he was delayed, and we had quite some, you know, strong concerns about that as well. But prior to that, his delays and also his behavior and. And all the things that you see in a child that was at that age that are normal, I mean, we didn't see in him.
Right.
So we, as Marty said, we jumped right on to getting him all the different therapies that you would normally try to achieve when you had a child with those different behaviors and all the, and I'm speaking about the therapies, OT and speech therapy and dexterity and muscle tone
Donald, how was he with like dexterity? Was he dropping things a lot? Couldn't hold things in between his two fingers?
you know, he was able to hold things, but he wasn't able to manipulate them.
Okay,
Did he
show much stemming?
Yes. Yes, constant. Yes, and all sorts of different types of stemming.
Yeah.
And as I'm speaking to you, I'm remembering how it used to be. And now at the present, how it is you forget so quickly how he used to be, and because he's progressed so much since then. So,
that is so.
Yes.
That's awesome. I know you. I wanted to speak to you first about this because I know your passport didn't come in on time. you must have been like, oh no, my passport's not here, and my wife and child get to go. But how long was it before you was able to join them in Costa Rica, Don?
Well,
it came the day before, right?
Yeah, after several trips to the post office where we get our passports, and
right,
some great help from some of the people at the post office who, you know, as we went down for a family and applied for all the passports, they were able to motivate the passport to me a day before we left.
Wow.
Did a day before we left.
That's quick. That's very quick.
Yeah, well, it actually took about 8 weeks, but we did get it, so yes.
That's excellent. There
is another treatment, too, that we didn't touch upon that was really, it took about a year and a half of us, but we did wind up doing, I don't know if you're familiar with Andrew Wakefield and the recent controversy with the MMR, and he's a British doctor. We actually took Kenneth to his partner, Dr. Arthur Krigsman, in New York, and we've had Kenneth scope.
Dr. Arthur Krigsman?
Yeah.
In New York?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they worked together at the Awful House, or they did. And that was a huge help. That was one of the, you know, that was the biggest thing in his life, to find out and have him. He had a colonoscopy, and he had an endoscopy, and a pill camera. And we could see, and what they believe is the causes of autism have to do with the gastrointestinal issues and how that affects the brain and how your whole body, you know, is, you know, what's going on down there.
Yeah, and the neurotransmitters and everything happening.
Yeah,
neural pathways being crossed. And yeah, I can see that as being a possibility as well.
Yeah, so we have that. We have that baseline, and he was diagnosed with autistic enterocolitis of the GI tract. So whatever pain and screaming he had from the GI, probably, which he couldn't express to us. So.
I see. Thank you for adding that in there. When I spoke about passports, I just want to make our audience aware of the fact that the treatment is not approved in the United States as of right now. There have been many trials, I believe, from speaking with Marty just prior to the show, there's been like over 800 trials in the United States alone when President Bush enacted the law, and before President Obama came into and changed it to embryonic. I think that's important because there's a lot of controversy between embryonic and the actual adult stem cells, umbilical cords stem cells as well. So I just want to put it there in the audience that if you're interested in this type of therapy, there are places that you're going to go, and there will be links after this segment that I will post on. I'll keep the chat room open, and I'll post all the links up on there so they're all registered in there. And I'll also post them on my website as well, on my Facebook. And if anybody else is interested, they can email me at sajackson72@yahoo.com. That's sajackson72@yahoo.com. And so I needed to put it out there that you are going to need a passport because the USDA has not approved that in the United States as far. So this family has had to travel to Costa Rica. Now, I have looked all over the Internet here. I know there are treatments being done as well in Mexico. There are treatments being done in actually three different specific areas that I wanted to know, but I can't find them in my notes, of course. I'm sure we'll come across them.
Germany.
Germany. Yep,
and
Germany.
China, I think.
What's that?
China?
China, that was the one. Yes, and I guess they haven't, from what I've read thus far, they haven't really good, I mean, they're having, right across the board, they're having really good results from the stem cells there. Now, we talk about stem cells. I know that it's very important that people understand that there's a controversy between different stem cells. Now, I know Ken received stem cells. Can you just explain to the audience what type of stem cells he received?
Sure. Kenneth got about 12 million mesenchymal. I'm not sure how they say that, but
okay.
it's an anti-inflammatory type of stem cell. And that was it's a new stem cell they're using. And then the other stem cell he had was 12 million of the CD34 stem cells, which actually are the same type of stem cells that hyperbaric oxygen creates in the brain. So the CD34, yeah. And
because the hyperbaric oxygen helps to decrease inflammation as well, is that correct?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
And I think it also, there's been scans of the brain, and they actually do show that stem cells are created after hyperbaric treatments.
Yes. Now, I know it's important to note that, I'm probably jumping ahead a little bit here, but I know it's important to note that hyperbaric oxygen therapy was used in coordination with a stem cell treatment. Is that correct?
In a way, I don't know. We're really careful because we've also heard that hyperbaric can have detrimental effects if you do it too soon or too near your stem cell treatment.
Right. So I know that I believe I saw it or heard it in one of your segments with the local news was that you were treating that with much caution.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important.
But it's supposed to speed it along and help out the new stem cells. And
I see.
Even better results with the hyperbaric after stem cell treatment. So.
See, thank you. Bonnie, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Bonnie, do you have any questions for these nice young folks? Just as young as I am, by the way.
right now, I'm just taking it all in. It's really, really interesting, really amazing stuff.
It is.
Well,
okay, thanks, Bonnie.
To live, you know, in this day and age, that they can do so many things for so many diseases and conditions.
Isn't that?
Yeah, and what stem cells are doing, and it's not really just for autism, but stem cells really help cerebral palsy a lot, and they're doing trials at Duke University with umbilical cord stem cells. If you actually saved your child's stem cells, you can go there and be treated for cerebral palsy. And that's approved here in the U.S.
Yeah.
No trials have been done in the U.S. for autism yet.
Autism, exactly. I'm glad you touched on that because I want to tell everybody, our listeners, that I'm getting a little tongue-tied here, excuse me. Cell medicine arranges stem cell therapy for patients for the following conditions: autoimmune diseases, cerebral palsy, critical limb ischemia, degenerative joint disease, diabetes type 2, heart failure, and multiple sclerosis, osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, and spinal injury. So these are all being conducted, I'm sure, trials are being conducted in the United States. However, I know it's going to be quite a lengthy time. It could be anywhere from 15 to 20 years, probably 20 years minimum, actually, before it's even going to be able to be used here. I know the process with the USDA is pretty difficult in getting things across. Is that the way I hear it, Marty?
Yeah, I would say so, because especially now that it's everyone's studying embryonic stem cells, there's no more funding going to the adult or umbilical cord.
Right, because of the new legislation.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
It is.
So I would highly recommend that that if this stem cell therapy is working for autistic children, that if this is an option for many folks out there and they think this is an option for them, I highly recommend that they contact their legislature offices, representatives. Their phone numbers are all listed. And if you're interested in stem cell medicine, you can actually go to a website, www.cellmedicine.com, all one word. That's www.cellmedicine.com. And for more information, you can call 800-980-STEM. That's 800-980-STEM.
I think, you know, the first thing you look at as parents, too, is the safety.
Yes.
And we just really held back on this because we were worried about safety, but there's been over 800 clinical trials in the U.S. It's perfectly safe. There's nothing unsafe about, you know, using umbilical cord blood or adult stem cells from your own cells. The danger does come in when you do get into embryonic stem cells, because that can cause tumors and different things and other diseases that we just don't know anything about at this point. So.
That's exactly right. I'm glad you chimed in on that, because in dealing with controversial views, the biggest controversy over embryonic stem cell research centers on whether human life in the form of an embryo less than 2 weeks after conception is also a human person. If it is a person, then extracting stem cells constitutes first-degree murder. Now, I think that's going a little overboard, but these are controversial views that we're going to have to, you know, people have different views. But if it's not a person, then removing stem cells is morally acceptable. As an overview, stem cells are seen by many researchers as having virtually unlimited application in treatment and cure of many human diseases and disorders, including Alzheimer's, diabetes, cancer, strokes. The stem cells come in three different general types. So I think we can go over the general types after we speak a little bit about your trip. This must have been exciting for Ken. Has he been outside of the United States before?
No.
No.
He had a great time. He was so excited.
Awesome.
He knew exactly how many hours it would take, how many days at the hotel, how many trips to the clinic, and how many days and hours it would take to get back.
But that was new, Scott.
That was
not before the trip. After the trip, he told us all these things.
Yeah.
And we're
oh
like,
my goodness.
Yeah, that was new. So before, he couldn't really tell us, hey, Mom, this is going to be 4 hours. And afterwards, the stem cells were like, oh, my goodness. He knew how long the plane trip was. So that was interesting.
That's very impressive after the first treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
in a week or two.
Yeah, and you spent a week over there. Is this a relatively painless procedure? Do they don't have to put you out for it or anything like that?
You have a couple of options. Like our son, he could sit there and just get an IV, like you're getting blood drawn.
Yep.
And that was all there was to it. Some people are opting to do spinals with their children, and that I think ICM, I think that's a new thing they're doing for autism because of
okay.
the age of children. That would be
yep.
in the spine. And I don't know that they've done that many yet, but we just did it right in the arm as an IV injection type of.
Okay, so relatively painless.
Yeah. And amazing. We got to tour the lab there. The lab's right on site and see, you know, see the stem cells and how they purify them, and they strip the cell of anything, any blood products, and they do all these new 20th century things that I can't explain.
Now, financially, I know that the local news has touched up basis on this, so I'm not going to go into depth on that, but I will tell the people listening that there are, if they're looking at a hyperbaric oxygen chamber for use of rentals, rentals, it can be quite expensive, especially if you're going in, like, say, what, 900 hours that you mentioned.
Right.
Basically, I've looked up some rental figures and things like that,
mm-hmm.
but with the amount of therapy, with the amount of hyperbaric oxygen therapy that most of the autistic children that I've seen thus far in my research anyway, and that's not eyes on, that's just reading through reports and journals thus far, with that amount, you're better off to buy one. The cost, as I see it, is around $25,000 to $30,000. Do they accept payments? Do you know for those type of things?
I don't think so.
No, and
I've heard of some companies though are as low as $12,000.
Awesome.
By the time you buy other things, maybe around $15,000 to $17,000.
And they're the bag type hyperbaric, because
yeah.
the heart. Heart chamber is different.
Yeah, so what your $25,000 might, you know, you might want to prepare yourself for that, but.
Right. But that's good, though, that you gave us a couple different figures there. Thank you. So financial status, is the estimated cost of a hyperbaric oxygen chamber, again, is around anywhere from $12,000 to $25,000 to $30,000.
Depending on the brand.
Depending on the brand and the type. And about what was approximate cost? I'm sorry, I did not gather that figure from them. I thought they said somewhere around $15,000, was it, for the stem cell treatment itself?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's around $15,000.
Okay. And it's my understanding that insurance companies aren't covering this.
No.
Yeah. Isn't that something? With something, it is my hopes that as the information gets out there, and that's one of the good things about doing this live radio show as well, is that people all around the world are listening to us right now, and I would highly recommend that they contact their, you know, their House of Representatives, their legislators, their senators, and maybe even start a petition to get something like this to be funded, you know, to be accepted by an insurance company, because obviously it's doing your son good, as is many, many more. Can you tell me, Marty, I know that you discussed a few different cases without mentioning last names. Can you just tell me of a couple other people that you've met along the way that have been helped by stem cell treatment?
The first child I think we saw was on YouTube, a video of a little girl that had gone actually to Costa Rica. And
yeah.
It looked like she was doing all sorts of things after stem cells, like reading. And it looked like a too-good-to-be-true story.
Right.
And
right.
Systemic to me, because what she was doing after just wasn't believable. And, you know, it's kind of like that, to think that you can have a child with autism and have him actually improve and have a kid that's nonverbal actually speak.
Yes, and it's a big difference between night and day.
Mm-hmm. And it does happen. So.
And you're proof. Ken is proof of this.
In a way, yeah.
Well, I'm excited that this is helping Ken. If people don't know, Marty and I went to high school together. I was a jokester, class clown, and I don't know. Just to put it out there, if people don't know, I'm a 38-year-old male with Asperger's as well. There aren't many treatments out there for adults that have been researched thoroughly. Most of the treatments are being done and performed on studies have been performed on children, which I'm thankful for. But let me look down through here. Sorry, just a second here. I'm gathering my thoughts.
Nobody even knew what Asperger's was when you were in high school.
I know.
Heard of it.
Sad part. I didn't realize what Asperger's was until 1996. But it was in our area in 1994. It wasn't really well known, but it just came into, the state of Maine around 1994. It came into the DSM-4 curriculum. Which I'm told the DSM-5 curriculum now is incorporating Asperger's within the autism spectrum as well. They're just classifying it as autism in general. And I guess there's a lot of controversy, but without going into that, the DSM-5, by the way, curriculum comes out in 2012 as we know it. Ken's siblings. Have you seen many changes in behaviors between Ken and his siblings?
He's playing with them. He will ask his older brother questions now. He's really interested in his older brother's opinions of things like, what do you want to name your dog and that type of thing. What else? He's playing good with his little sister. They go out and they play make-believe outside all day long.
Awesome.
So they're really getting along a lot better.
He was not able to do that prior to the hyperbarics and prior to the stem cells.
Isn't that something?
And
what?
Oh, that's what you look for in a normal with normal children to enjoy their brothers and sisters, and this has entitled him to do so. So that's. That in itself was a real joy to see.
That's good.
And
can I
tell you the most exciting part with the stem cells that we're seeing now?
Yeah. Oh, Marty wants to really jump in on this. He's really excited to tell everybody. Marty, go ahead.
Okay, he's reading. And he was not reading before. He's reading and he's actually spelling. So it's just beginner level right now, but I do think it's from the stem cells. And I don't think I ever thought I'd see the day when he would be able to pick up a book and go through it and read half the words, just of a regular, probably third grade book. So that's
so
exciting.
Cool. That is exciting. Congratulations, you guys. I mean, that's exciting news.
Yeah. It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell because we're so close to him and we see him every day, but other people really see the changes.
Right. I know you said that you have brothers that are seeing a lot of changes too.
Yeah, they'll see him maybe every 6 months and he'll go over to their house and they said, oh my goodness, listen to him talk. He's telling us what he did at school all day, which he was never able to do before. Just remember things in the past. Remember his grandmother who died a few years ago and talk about her or a pet that was lost years ago and bring that up now. And, hey, he couldn't even talk 3 years ago, and let alone did we know he was remembering and paying attention to our world. And now he's in it and participating in everyday life with us. And it's just,
that's something.
Yeah.
That is something else. Marty and Dawn, do you see, there's a lot of people saying that children with autism don't show empathy, therefore a child that shows no empathy must be suspected of having autism or being classified as such. I really disagree with that, and I'm not asking you to agree with me, but for the main reason is I've worked with children with Asperger's, with autism, and although they don't show their empathy much of the time, some children do, but it's not that they don't feel it. It's not that they don't have it in there somewhere. And I think I'm so glad you mentioned that, because you must be seeing, I mean, where he's talking about his grandmother,
yeah.
You know, years later after her death, that's empathy.
I don't agree with that either, Scott. I agree with you. And I've seen lots of children in his class and, you know, in around the autism community.
Right.
I don't see that. I see kids that do have emotions and feelings, and they do care about others, too.
Yes, they do. In fact, I think I'll go as far as to say that the child that I was working with had so much empathy, he just didn't know how to show it. He didn't know. And he's always been taught boundaries, you know. Keep your space, you know. Don't shout at people, you know. Lower your voice, lower your tone, you know. Things like that. So that's all he knows from growing up,
mm-hmm.
is lower your voice, lower your tone, keep your space. Well, you know, to a child like that, it'd be like, you know, why do I need to show my empathy? You know, they're not going to see it anyway, so why show it? But
yeah.
Anyhow,
you know, someone very smart mentioned that, and they said actually that what they were reading in the article and what they felt from working with autism, and they own about 10 schools up there where we live in Maine, they said that autistic kids actually have deeper feelings, and like you said.
Awesome, thank
very
you.
Very strong feelings.
What is Ken's view of his treatments?
Well, whenever he does something wrong and we go to correct him, he does tell us to be careful that we don't kill his stem cells. So he's using it against us.
Oh, that's too funny. Be careful.
So he keeps asking us, when are we going to go back and have more stem cells? Why do I have to have stem cells, Mom? So that's interesting.
But he generally tolerates them well, and as any other child would, they're going to have times where they're, you know, where they're defiant and they don't get along with their siblings and such. So, but sounds like Ken is doing really well. Does he tolerate his treatments well? Does he shrug them off at times and say that he's had enough? Ever?
Oh no! You know, he is the best, and I can't say this for all kids, even regular kids, but, you know, he'll get right up when he needs to have blood work done, because we do have a lot of blood work tests that we run on him all the time, make sure he's healthy and doing well. He'll sit right up there and give the girl his arm. He's so strong and tough about it. He gets the methylcobalamin B12 shots, and
uh-huh.
I don't even wait for him to go to bed at night. He lets me give him a shot. So he suffers.
That's cool. I'm going to gather a few of my thoughts here, because I also wanted to speak here. We have, we've gone over quite a bit. Is there anything that you really want to touch on other than what we've been through thus far? Anyone?
Well, we just kind of took over your whole thing. I didn't let you get
Your
story edgewise here.
Good. You guys are the parents. You guys are the one that sees it. I'm excited from where I am to know that this type of treatment is available. It may be outside of the U.S., but that it is available and people can can seek out these treatment as possibilities. Now, how did you first find out about the stem cell transplant and where? I think you've already mentioned this, but I didn't really write it down.
The best thing that we did, like, we saw that little girl, and then we were in Florida at the time, and there was a little boy in Orlando, and he was getting ready to go and get the stem in Costa Rica. And we thought, oh, my goodness, should we buy a hyperbaric chamber at this, because that's when we were looking to buy it, or should we go and get the stem cells? So we thought, hey, let's watch this little boy and see how he does. So we've been watching him now for probably 2 years, is it? And since then, he's probably had 4 or 5 stem cells. He's gone back and done it so many times.
How often do you think that Ken is going to require these stem cells?
We're still seeing gains. We're still seeing things, and it's been about 6-7 months.
So when you see it, is it your understanding from your physician in Costa Rica, the one that does the treatment of stem cells, is it your idea that when and if he shows signs of regression that it's time to go back and get more?
I think it's not necessarily regression as much as it would be he would level out and plateau, is what I'm hoping. And they were saying, 6 months maybe, but maybe a year. So we're looking at, I think we're probably going to try to go back this summer. Some parents have only gone the one treatment, and they're happy with that, and they're saying they're still seeing things years later.
Isn't that amazing? That is something else.
Yeah, it's really a miracle, and it's kind of hard to believe that there is something out there like this. And, you know, some people don't see results from the stem cells. It's not a guarantee that it's going to work. What I had heard was if your child does respond to the hyperbaric oxygen therapy, that there's a good chance that they will respond to the stem cells. So I think it's a 70% response or treatment with autism.
Awesome. Well, you can't really get much better than that, and if you did, then you'd have a cure.
I guess so, maybe.
Immediately, I'm just going to quote something here from your interview here. It said that immediately when we were in Costa Rica, he started just talking a lot more. His vocabulary, probably 20% or more during the conversation. He started going up to strangers and talking to them. And Kenneth has no problem telling us what he did in Costa Rica. We went to the beach and to the rainforest. That must have been exciting for him.
It was. And the whole thing was, I didn't know why he was talking so much. You know, the stem cells, are they working that quickly or what? But was he just excited? I guess there is a growth factor that they put in with the stem cells, and I don't know if it was that or the mesenchymal stem cells that do help with the inflammation, if that had taken the inflammation down that quickly.
I see.
But there was definitely, right away, he was talking more. I would call home hoping to hear comments from my mother and my brother. Boy, listen to him talk. What is going on?
Now, I know you've talked, we've talked about hyperbaric. We've talked about stem cell treatment. What about chelation therapy? What's your view on chelation therapy?
Chelation therapy is great. It's amazing. It's something that they really need to have done, especially if the metals are high. And they say if you have high metals, you don't want to have the stem cell therapy because you run the risk of metals will kill the stem cells. So,
I see.
So it's a fine line of balancing. And with chelation, what we thought, we did the IVs because we thought it would be the most effective way to pull the metals out of our son. It doesn't go through the gut, which wasn't going to cause a yeast. There's yeast issues with the stomach. So, you know, there's different ways to do it. You can do transdermal creams or oral. So the chelation therapy has helped a lot of people, and a lot of people have recovered their children just from chelation.
Awesome. I guess chelation works like the body's natural sulfur defense system, wherein the sticky molecules will bind with the toxic metals, and then it'll, I guess, sequester and eliminate them. So that's pretty interesting material there.
It'll go through like a magnet and draw out through your body.
And I guess the best diagnostic test for toxic metal overload is chelation challenge test. And the chelation drug is administered, followed by a timed urine test to help assess the body's burden of the toxic element. We went over some controversial issues. Now, I know there are some different types of stem cells. And it looks like my printer didn't print all the pages I wanted, but you mentioned one of them. I guess they have what's called induced pluripotent stem cells. They are specially treated ordinary cells, skin cells that are specially processed to exhibit some of the properties of embryonic stem cells. The research in this area is just beginning, just to let you know. Okay, that's called induced pluripotent stem cells. So I guess there still is some research there into that it's not actual embryonic cells, but that they're trying to create the embryonic cells there. And, of course, before the USDA ever approves that, they'll have to approve the stem cell treatment first.
True.
I'm interested in, I know that we only have about 8 minutes left in the broadcast. Bonnie, are there anybody, have you had any chatters in the chat room?
I have not.
But
I would like...
Yes, go right ahead.
But I would like to mention that I think it's very interesting and it gives a lot of hope. When you were mentioning that once he had the treatment, that then he was able to tell you to speak and to tell you how many hours and how many treatments he'd had. So he was very much aware of what was going on. He was very much living in our world. He just wasn't responding as we would expect him to and communicating that with us. And I think that's
right.
Something important that teachers need to remember when they're working with our children is that it may appear that it's falling on deaf ears, but it is not, and that our kids are very much taking things in.
That's exactly right. And it leads me back to
say that.
It leads me right back to a story of I knew an old gentleman that had been in a coma for many years, and when he awoke, he told millions of stories about how he heard everything, and it's just we can't give up on our kids. You know, they may be autistic, but we can't give up on them. And this just gives us a lot of hope. And I just want to thank you guys so much for coming on this evening. It's been
a great opportunity.
And Bonnie, can you explain a little bit? I know you said you're from Ohio.
Yes.
Yes.
Northwest Ohio.
Is the weather any different there than it is here?
Well, I don't know. What is the weather like there?
Weather's beautiful today.
Oh, it's beautiful here. It's beautiful here.
Great.
I'll tell you, it's been 40 in Fort Lauderdale, so...
Wow. I was scheduled to go to a Dominican Republic missions trip to, to the DR... right around the Haiti earthquake, but I didn't get to go because I had some, I had to take some family medical leave from work, and I had some problems there. But I am so looking forward to going there next year, and that neck of the woods, Costa Rica, Dominican Republic, is just—it's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a great experience, and we were glad that he was so excited to go tour the country with us because we went everywhere.
It's awesome. Now, I know we've only got about 5 minutes left in the program, and I want you guys to be able to kind of give our listeners some idea of like the different types of vegetables that you use with Ken that are more beneficial that you found that Ken has like really enjoyed, maybe some that are really high. You know, you probably have more of an idea of which ones are higher and which vitamin and all that, and what vitamins are important during his therapies.
Okay, yeah, you know, when we do the hyperbaric and after the stem cells, we're really concerned about upping his antioxidants to keep the stem cells, you know, healthy. So
uh-huh.
We did a lot of, you know, the pomegranates. We added some of those super juices that you buy for like $30 a bottle, just special things. What else? We cook with almond flour, and, you know, we take ground up almonds, and that's what we make breads with. And for vegetables, lots of bananas with the almond flour or carrots. What else does he get? You know, it's basically the same thing, poor kid.
Well, there are several other antioxidants. You know, of course, the fruits. There are fruits, for instance, blueberries and
when we get home, Scott, we freeze a lot of fiddleheads. Is that a vegetable?
Oh, awesome. Gotta love those fiddleheads. Now, I haven't heard anything about fish. Now, I know fish can be a really touchy subject when we're dealing with metals and toxicity and polychlorobiphenyls, I think they're called the PCBs. Do you guys have any preference as to what type of fish, or does he even like fish?
He will. He'll eat anything. He's such a good kid. We give him, like when we do the fish, I'll do salmon, but I stick basically with a lot of fish oil supplements, cod liver oil and omega-3.
Yes. What about vitamin B12? How important is that for Ken?
It's extremely important, I feel, but it's not one of those things that we can see immediately gains.
Right.
It made his speech clearer when we first started it. I do remember that within a couple of days, the note from the speech therapist said his speech is much clearer, and that's an injection in the bottom that he gets.
I'm excited. We only have 2 minutes left here just before the show goes off and live off the air. But I'm excited to ask, this whole treatment cycle must have, you know, people are probably weighing in here and thinking, oh my goodness, can you imagine if I had that amount of money and what would I do? You know, if I could only get my son this therapy. You know, do you know of any resources out there? And if not, I would like to post a few resources on the website. So if there are any chatters or anybody that's even listening right now that may want this info, by the way, you could bring up this information later on in the session, after the session's done, and after it's all downloadable. So all the links will come up, and you can copy them and into your document and look through them at your leisure.
There is a nonprofit.
Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Yeah, there's a nonprofit organization that will help parents interested in stem cell therapy. They can either write to you, and you can get that note to me. I forgot the name of the company, but.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Just want to make sure, Bonnie, I thank you so much for being the co-host. You know, I'm sorry it was like chat moderating over a non-existing chat room this evening. But sometimes you might have 15, 20 people in there, so you never know. But
right.
I thank you so much for co-hosting, and I would very much appreciate it if you have the time that you would host another segment. Now, I wanted to also thank the Kellys. Thank you so much for being a part of the show, being a part of our lives. One thing that I want to mention to you guys, and I know I'm going to chime in here again 10 seconds, but I want to put this out there. I do have to ask. Is there any? Yeah. See, I told you that was gonna make me screw up. Would you mind if I make a personal visit and a follow up with your family after Ken receives his next stem cell treatment?
We would love that. Come in.
Awesome. Anytime. I would love to do that, and really, this is amazing. I'm excited, and I'm sure you guys are too. Thank you so much. You
Thank
guys
you
have been a blessing.
Thank you so much.
You guys have a good night, okay?
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.